With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're listening to The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Within the space of 12 hours, America devolved from, or 24 hours, a little more, it's like 18 hours. America devolved from a constitutional republic to a banana republic. It wasn't just the indictment, ludicrous indictment of President Donald J. Trump yesterday, but today, in federal court in Brooklyn, a jury convicted meme maker, that's right, you heard me, a guy who made memes, Doug Mackey, found him guilty of conspiracy against rights for posting a joke meme, vote for Hillary, at 123456, you know, text Hillary to 123456 to vote for Hillary Clinton. And a federal district court just sentenced someone who faces up to 10 years in prison for posting a joke meme. That happened right across the river from Manhattan, where Soros puppet, Fat Albert, Alvin Bragg has indicted Donald Trump on counts of business fraud. Instead of cutting the Gordian knot, District Attorney Bragg seems to have spent the last few months braiding one. You know, you're supposed to cut through all the tangle and have the simplest case be what you go for. You want to cut to the heart of the issue, not get caught up in all the fluff. In this case, it's nothing but fluff. It is a hope and a prayer Hail Mary. And the celebrations that took place in Boston today just show how demented the left are, how evil they are, and how much they loathe and revile the rule of law in the United States Constitution. Because make no mistake, no man or woman, and yes, there are only men and women, is above the law. If Donald Trump had committed a crime, he should be indicted. But he should be indicted because he committed a crime, not because he's Donald J. Trump. The left seems to miss this. They don't care what the predicate is. They don't care what the alleged crime is. They don't care how weak the case is. All they care about is that Donald J. Trump was indicted. We've got that Trump now! But what should concern people even more is what happened across the river in Brooklyn today. Convicting a man for posting memes, satire, you know, it's almost as if the Federal District Court for the Eastern District of New York wanted to prove Mackey right, that Democrats are that stupid. Because in order to convict him, people would have had their rights violated. They must have relied on the joke meme. I keep saying it over and over, and I'm not joking. Stupidity needs to hurt more, right? People's bad decisions need to cause them physical pain and discomfort and economic consequences. We need to get back to the way things used to be, where if you tried riding down the street on your bike, popping a wheelie, and you lost your balance and you fell backwards and you cracked your head, your parents didn't come rushing in, suing the town because there was gravel on the road and suing the pavement manufacturer because it was too hard and suing the bicycle manufacturer because it didn't have anti-flip over technology. No, you were stupid. You fell backwards off your bike and you hit your head. Did you learn your lesson? That's the America we need to get back to. What happened at Brooklyn today proves that Donald Trump cannot get a fair trial on the island of Manhattan. I would hope that his attorneys, in addition to moving for dismissal of this ludicrous case, if a trial is to occur, I hope that they petition for removal. Bring the case up here. He'll be able to get a jury of his peers up in MAGA land. I'm Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning. April 11th marks the four-year anniversary of the arrest of journalist and publisher Julian Assange. Join activists and supporters from around the country from 4 to 6 p.m. outside the Department of Justice on the corner of 10th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. to demand the charges against him be dropped. What's happening to Julian Assange is happening to all of us. It's the criminalization of truth. The world is watching. And the tide is turning. Journalism is not a crime.
Breaking down the headlines.
It's the news I trust.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
No, I know you're going to think it is. I know you're going to think this is just some more snark that Timbo and Adam cooked up. And it's really not an early April Fool's joke. The World Health Organization is strongly recommending to countries that they should not be giving COVID-19 gene therapy injections to healthy children and teens. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Ruckus-Clark.
Thanks, Timothy. What happened? Did their funding from Bill Gates run out or something? I don't get it.
What happened?
I'm very confused.
For people that don't know that, you got to go see the movie Break Like the Wind. It's hysterical.
Good one, good one. Yeah, I had to read this one like 3-4 times before I was like, am I sure this is saying what it's saying? No, it's really saying. It's almost like the World Health Organization suddenly grew a brain, or I don't get it. But hey, whatever. I'm happy to report it. So the WHO issued new COVID-19 vaccination guidance this week, urging countries to reconsider continuing to vaccinate, quote, low-risk groups like healthy children and adolescents, end quote. That's why I was confused. I was like, are they telling them, hey, keep doing that? No, they're telling them, don't do that. The WHO's strategic advisory group of experts are now of the mind, I didn't know they had one, that owing to the, quote, impact of Omicron and high population level immunity due to infection and vaccination, it may be prudent for nations to reevaluate their vaccination schemes, taking into account, quoting here, the cost effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccination for those at lower risk, namely healthy children and adolescents, compared to other health interventions, end quote. Wait, what? This is crazy. I love it. The WHO's expert group maintains that geriatrics, adults with significant comorbidities, pregnant women, frontline health workers, and the immunocompromised should continue getting boosted every 6 or 12 months. While the group did not specify when this regimen of vaccinations would end, they did note the recommendations, quote, are time limited, applying for the current epidemiological scenario only, end quote. What? They might be setting the stage to say, stop doing that too? Wow, this is nuts. All right, so for healthy adults and sick kids, SAGE recommends primary series and first booster doses, but not additional boosters. SAGE noted, however, that for healthy children ages 6 through 17, there is, quote, low burden of disease, end quote. Well, now, if we had said that not that long ago, wouldn't we have gotten in trouble, Timothy? I think so. All right. So accordingly, WHO's expert group, quote, urges countries considering vaccination of this age group to base their decisions on contextual factors such as the disease burden, cost effectiveness, and other health or programmatic priorities and opportunity costs, end quote. The expert group went so far as to admit that, quote, the public health impact of vaccinating healthy children and adolescents is comparatively much lower than the established benefits of traditional essential vaccines for children, such as the rotavirus, measles, and pneumococcal conjugate vaccines, end quote. Sage conceded that the burden of severe COVID-19 is low overall in infants, but claimed that vaccinating quote-unquote pregnant persons still, quote, protects them both and the fetus while helping to reduce the likelihood of hospitalization of infants for COVID-19, end quote. All right, sure. But yeah, they're actually saying, hey, listen, you probably don't need to worry about all those healthy kids. You think? What do you think, Timothy?
I think, how about this for some contextual consideration? More people have died from the jab than died from the disease. How about that? We took the swine flu vaccine, which was an actual vaccine, off the market in 1976 after 52 people died. We've had way more than 52,000. Last year at this time, we had at least 52,000, according to whistleblower Therese Long, who provided DMED data to attorney Thomas Rentz. DMED is the Department of Defense's medical database, the best database in the world, because Adam, Department of Defense needs to know the health status of every member of the armed forces at any given time. Who's sick, who's not sick, who's battle ready, who isn't. It's the most comprehensive, detailed, and up-to-date medical database on the planet. And it showed, as of last June, 52,000 sudden deaths, unexplained deaths. We had more people die from remdesivir, ventilators, and the jab than we had die from the disease. And the number that died from the disease is wildly overstated, because they had people that were in motorcycle accidents. One woman reported to me that the man who lived down the hall in her assisted living facility stroked out, and they blamed COVID. Everything was COVID. If you died with COVID, you were deemed to have died from COVID. All the numbers have been cooked from the very start. I was screaming bloody murder when they started pushing fear with the R-naught values of this virus. This virus has a much higher R-naught value. It's way more contagious than anything ever before in the history of viruses. Except the R-naught value is a measure of how many people got sick out of the number of people who were exposed to the virus. There's no way to even model how many people were exposed to the virus, because in early 2020, there was no test for the virus. Indeed, there probably still isn't a reliable test, because the PCR tests can't be used anymore. And again, they said that last June, and yet they still allowed the test to be used until December 31st, because everybody knows that science operates on a calendar basis. It's all been BS from the start. They've been poisoning people from the start. They knew that they were going to be poisoning people from the start, and they didn't care, because it was a combination of the biggest PSYOP in history and the biggest wealth transfer in history. And Adam, people need to go to prison for it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But, you know, we can't have that. Instead, we need to focus on whether or not Donald Trump marked a business transaction in the right column, you know. Cheese and crackers. Hey, I do have a question. Do you know which one of these crony organizations was the one behind the medical codifying of the deaths? Was that based on the World Health Organization?
That's WHO. Or that's the World Health Organization.
Okay.
No, the World Health Organization sets, they're called the ICD-9 codes, and they're the insurance codes that every diagnosis receives. For example, Adam, there is now an ICD-9 code for refused vaccine. How about that? Why Wonderful. Would that be of interest to insurance companies and governments?
I can't help but think there was twice that I had to visit the emergency room during all of this nonsense for like physical injuries that I suffered. I'm clumsy sometimes. And they asked, you know, when you're there, like, have you had your vaccine? And I was like thinking like inside, I'm like, shut up, it's none of your business. No, but I had to say no. And I'm like thinking, does that get marked down somewhere? Am I in a system somewhere? Oh, I bet I am.
And unlike what they used to tell us about our report cards and whatnot, your electronic medical record actually is your permanent record. And it's scary what they want to be doing with it. Everything goes back to Obamacare.
Wonderful. Anyways.
And I do have a little quibble with you. You said we might get in trouble for telling the truth. Timbo was deplatformed twice. Lost 2 Twitter accounts for telling the truth. And had 12 of my 31 30-day bans on Facebook because of the CoronaCon. Thanks for another great story. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you next week, Adam. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Greg Mabry on TNT Radio.
Can you give us a recap on what the treaty represents, what it sort of means for us personally? Why should people be concerned about this treaty?
Both of these documents are ways of giving more control to the World Health Organization and industry stakeholders within health policy. In actual fact, I think the real danger is the international health regulations, first up. They have been making amendments to these regulations that will enable the World Health Organization to literally take over the control of governments whenever they call a public health emergency. And whilst that's what we saw in the last pandemic, what actually happened there was they recommended the directives, but the fact is that they also pay governments to put those directives in place. And countries in debt usually need to accept that payment. So they're financially incentivized already to put in the directives that come from the WHO. But with the amendments that they're going to be making in May this year, it will literally give complete control to the WHO to put in place any directives they like.
The No Fly Zone with Greg Mabry on TNT Radio.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
The Congo provides 60% of the world's cobalt. Children as young as 7 breathe in cobalt-laden dust so you can drive an electric vehicle.
We mandate that the truth be told.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Dr. Jason Dean is someone I'm proud to call a friend. He's a doctor of chiropractic. More importantly, he is a proud American husband, father, and patriot. You can find his work at bravetv.com. He was on the show previously on February 6th. You can go back into the archives on tntradio.live and look for Dr. Jason Dean on February 6th for that first show. I'd like to welcome back Jason Dean. How are you?
Timothy, good to be back. I'm well. How are you, my man?
I am very well. We, you know, the old Asian, I guess it's Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. It's been a crazy 24 hours, huh?
You know what, though? This is going to sound terrible, but I was getting a little bored. So when everything dropped,
a little complacent.
When everything dropped, when everything dropped yesterday, I have my assistant, I have a couple people on the team here, and then I have a whole bunch of moderators behind the scenes that we chat throughout the day. And we were all excited, and not excited because obviously like what's happening in our country and all that, but something's moving, and it's so, can we just say how categorically insane it is that whether this is a show, not a show, who's involved, who's not involved, because I have a lot of conspiracies in my mind about this, but the fact that you, let me say this in a certain way. So I want people to get the importance of this, but also I don't want to dramatize, if that makes sense. If this happens, Timothy, if this goes down, he'll be arraigned next week, which they'll probably do, unless something happens and they know the case is dead. I said last time when the SCOTUS leak happened, was it last year? I said, America is officially done. And now America is technically, and I don't say this from a standpoint of I'm scared about America. The America that we knew is officially done between SCOTUS leak, meaning nothing is sacred at this point at the highest courts on the land. They're leaking out Supreme Court decisions, which is, it's not even a crime. That like if now there's leakers within the Supreme Court, you no longer have sanctity. There's nothing there. It's over because anything can happen at that point. Now, the precedence of a former president, because they don't like him, who did literally nothing wrong. And if you're talking about tax stuff, every business person tries to get through the loopholes. You no longer have a nation, Timothy. What's that?
I don't even think this is tax stuff. This is, they're going business records. They're saying he didn't classify the payment correctly.
Correct.
It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous.
It's ludicrous. So do we have a nation anymore? Because if this is, because if you try to take down or legitimately take down or even indict and then quote unquote arrest this, a past president, it's over, because now the precedence has been set. No matter how you go forward, you actually have to get rid of the two-party system at this point, even though it's a uniparty, because now everyone's going to go after the next president.
Well, there's a couple of things to unpack there. First of all, do we still have a country? I argue no, because a country requires a secure border. We don't have that. The country requires a justice system that is blind. We don't have that. What concerns me more than Trump's indictment is what happened over in Brooklyn today. I don't know if you heard my intro.
I did not see that, no.
They convicted Doug Mackey, Ricky Vaughn, for posting memes.
I think I did.
They convicted him in Brooklyn.
I did not look into the whole story.
That's more of an indictment of our judicial system than this ridiculous, vainglorious quest for glory by Donut Boy Alvin Bragg. It was great. He got out of the SUV today, and he wasn't holding donuts, but he was holding the Timmy's cup. He had that Tim Hortons cup going. And you know, those donuts did not survive that drive.
He had to get rid of them early. There was evidence. More evidence there than there is in the case.
Yeah, right.
So you're right. No, you're right. I saw
that. So I don't
think
we have a country anymore.
No. No, I saw the headline on the Bragg thing, and then I realized I didn't know what happened. But now I went on the Twitter, and
Oh, you mean on the Doug Mackey thing?
It's over. Yeah. It's over.
Look, where I am right now, burn it down. Burn it all down. Burn it to the ground and start over again. Our Justice Department is top to bottom corrupt. The FBI needs to be disbanded. Department of Homeland Security needs to be disbanded. A lot of other federal agencies need to be disbanded. Burn it all down. Give DC back to Maryland and start over again. It's in the Declaration of Independence that this is our right to do.
So it's funny you say that, because in the past probably couple months, I was with a mutual friend of ours. I won't name on the radio just not to out him, but sure. He runs a successful tour. Let's just say that. And I was with him, and he said something about, this is crazy. And I look over to him. We're in the room together. And I go, honestly, I think it needs to be burned to the ground. I don't believe it's savable. I believe you have to restart. Yes, you can restart with the current with the Constitution, and you can restart at, but you like what you just said. And I don't, again, I'm not trying to be dramatic about this, but at the same time, it's not quote unquote fixable. You have to have a new declaration of independence. You have to have it. You can do it under the original founders' ways, but we have to strike something brand new in this country, because you're right. We need to literally eliminate every single one of these agencies. We have to tear them all down. They're not constitutional. I don't even know if we can be in DC anymore, honestly.
Well, that's why I say give back to Maryland. Arlington went back to Virginia back in the 1800s. Give DC back to Maryland. And it's unbelievable. You know, the founders are rolling in their grave. And what I would do, I wouldn't start over from scratch, right? I would start over with the Constitution that we have now, but I would strike certain amendments. We can get rid of the 18th and the 21st because they just, one undid the other, and that was ludicrous anyway. Maybe for posterity, it's a good lesson that you can't legislate human behavior. And all you're going to do in making things contraband, all you're going to do is finance a massive black market. I think we need to get rid of the 16th Amendment and the 17th Amendment, get rid of the income tax, go back to tariffs and other ways of financing the country, get rid of the 17th Amendment, give the states their voice back. We should not be electing our senators directly. Our state legislature should. We still have control over those state legislatures, so nobody's getting disenfranchised if we do that. But the states currently have no voice in our federal government. We've got to end the Fed. Yep. And I know you're a big crypto guy. We can talk about that after the news about how maybe we can end the Fed and get into a stable cryptocurrency that isn't a central bank digital currency. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Question. Huh? What are you guys doing today?
The news.
TNT Radio News.
Sounds good.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said Thursday night his chamber will hold Alvin Bragg to account for an unprecedented abuse of power, saying the Manhattan District Attorney's unprecedented indictment of former President Donald Trump has irreparably damaged our country. Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong says she remains deeply concerned over the continuing detention of China-born Australian journalist Chang Li, who has been in prison for nearly 3 years.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download, keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
If anybody that just heard me say we need to burn it all down and that it is our right to overthrow the government, let me read from you. Let me read from the Declaration of Independence to you. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. It's right there in our founding document.
Yeah, you gotta start over. Isn't it crazy to be in this time, Timothy? I mean,
It really is. I just turned 61 on Wednesday. My dad said, when can you start taking, Social Security next year, can't you? And I said, Dad, first of all, anybody who takes Social Security at 62 is a chump because they're getting hardly anything. I said, it's not even, he goes, well, what is it then, 65? I said, no, they raised the 65 to 70. You can still take it at 65, but you're going to get like half of what you'd get. If you want to get what you would have gotten, if I want to get what you got at 65, I have to wait till 70. But I'm not even counting on that. Since the 1970s, I've known, since I was a teenager, literally, I've known that there was going to be no Social Security there for me.
100%. I respectfully sometimes bash on our older generation for having given into this whole situation and got us into this current one, because it's interesting how people talk about the debt and they're like, oh, we're $30 trillion of debt. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're far deeper than $31 trillion in debt. You have, there's a thing called unfunded
liabilities. You forget the VIG, pal.
You forgot unfunded liabilities of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Yeah. Medicare and Medicaid alone can't even be paid for. I mean, again, that's free money being handed out to people who, obviously some people have problems and they end up in a hospital or whatever else, but literally they're handing it over. Unfunded liabilities, now derivatives. I've heard anywhere from starting at $1 quadrillion upwards. I've heard as high as hundreds of quadrillions of dollars that are just fake bets. I mean, that's all they are. So at the end of the day, yeah, those are gone. And you know what's interesting? I'm going to throw this out there. I don't know. Can I do conspiracies at all on this network?
Of course. Yeah, you know why? Because we call it pattern recognition.
So if we go back, and you might know far more about this than I do because I'm still studying it, but George Washington, before he became president of the United States, was a commander-in-chief and general of the colonial army. And then he relinquished that position and became president of the United States. I have this executive order theory, evolution-ish theory, that President Trump is an active general / commander-in-chief right now, not the president, and is waging a war behind the scenes, which then could become, again, president of the new United States, the last president of a... it's an incorporated America right now. And then you go back to our founding documents, original founding, started over, but go back to our founding documents, and he relinquishes his commander in chief and general of current situation to walk back in as a president, which actually fits back with what you were saying regarding giving DC back to Maryland, because originally, I believe, and I could be wrong here again, originally, I don't believe we all voted on president back in, like, way back, and obviously not when I was alive, is we voted locally and the top was voted within. Is that correct?
What do you mean the top was voted within?
So the federal system, there was not, and I have to go study this deeper because I'm starting to learn about it, is the fact that the states, I believe, might have voted for the president, but the people didn't actually. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but it worked then the same way as it works now. And your timeline is almost correct. Washington was the commander-in-chief for the Continental Army. But then after we won the war, he resigned, gave his brilliant farewell address to his troops down at Francis Tavern in Lower Manhattan. You can still go to Francis Tavern and have a great meal there today. And see Federal Hall, where there's a great statue of Washington, because that's where he was first inaugurated. New York City was our first national capital.
That's right.
And then they had the Articles of Confederation. Okay, so we're no longer with Great Britain. They did the Articles of Confederation, and then, these aren't really working out. Let's have a constitutional convention. And originally, and this is why I'm against a con, originally the constitutional convention was to simply tweak the Articles of Confederation and paper over where they weren't working. And then it became clear when they all got together in that room in Philadelphia, in what's now called Independence Hall, that it wasn't fixable, that they were going to have to start over from scratch. And that's what they did with our beautiful Constitution. Unfortunately, as much as they tried to understand human nature and guard against it with the separation of powers and systems of checks and balances, they gave us the amendment procedure, and it's been the amendments that have been the problem, other than the Bill of Rights, that, you know, most of the amendments have been pretty good. Some have been housekeeping, right? About Congress votes itself a raise, which was originally the 11th Amendment. if Congress votes itself a raise, it doesn't take effect until the next Congress, that they can't vote themselves into a raise. They got to win an election to get the raise. So, and then there were the things like the 16th and the 17th that haven't been so good. So I don't think that Donald Trump is the commander in chief.
Okay.
That would require that the military wasn't taking orders from Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, former General Lloyd Austin, and General Milley. And I don't believe that's the case, because what I'm hearing from all my military friends, one guy has five sons serving. One was promotable. He was a captain, promotable to major, and he walked away. Another just started and can't wait for his hitch to be up because he's out of there.
Wow.
They're the DEI, the trans indoctrination, they're intentionally weakening our military from within. 78% of young adults are ineligible, physically ineligible for military service. Of the 22% who are eligible, only 15% are going to be able to make it through basic training. And so this move to put women in combat roles where they're not strong enough to do the work, this move to worry about pronouns, recruits can ask for timeouts if they're yelled at by too much by drill instructors. Drill instructors can't so much as lay a finger on a recruit, but if he yells too loudly or too abusively, the drill instructor gets punished. And the recruit's given a timeout to, you know, collect his thoughts and his emotions, because
you're not enjoying this way of society, Timothy.
Yeah, that's the most important thing in the military is how do you feel about serving your country? Let's get to some solutions after the break. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
On Monday morning came word of the shooting at the Convent Elementary School in Nashville, Tennessee. Six people slaughtered, including 3 9-year-olds, by a biological woman who attended that school and identified as a male until she was shot to death by police. In other words, the shooter was a trans. And as the Daily Wire reports, the shooting came the same week that transgender activists had promoted a day of vengeance. They say the group, which is run in part by a former Democratic staffer from Virginia, also raised money for firearms training and specifically called for action in Nashville, the city where the shooting took place. The main Day of Vengeance event is scheduled to occur in D.C. on Saturday, when attendees are asked to show up masked at the Supreme Court. The webpage promoting the event, the Trans Radical Activist Network, says the time is now, and it quotes a participant in the Stonewall riot saying, "I remember when someone threw a Molotov cocktail. I thought, my God, the revolution is here." Let's hope, folks, that the DOJ and the FBI are on top of this and will shut it down before we see more death and destruction. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
One day, my 8-year-old son, Michael, was playing football with his friends in the mud and got an infection that led to sepsis.
Sepsis is your body's toxic response to an infection that can lead to tissue damage to extremities.
They needed to do 2 upper amputations and 2 below the knee.
Sepsis causes an average of 38 amputations per day in the United States. To learn more, go to sepsis.org.
This is The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Dr. Jason Dean, I know that you started out worrying about our physical health, and that got you into realizing how much environmental stressors and all the psychological attacks and the spiritual attacks that we're under can impact our physical health. You're not a crypto guy. Folks, you can tune in on Monday. I've got Versan and Vandel Aljara of Black Swan Capitalist coming on to talk about crypto. But we're all dead set against the CBDCs, the central bank digital currencies. But I love blockchain technology because once you enter something into the blockchain, it can no longer be edited. Well, it can, but you've got to have ridiculous access, right? I guess only the government could edit it. So maybe even blockchain isn't the answer. But there's got to be, because I think our dollar is going bye-bye, right? Between BRICS on the one side, having China and Russia, India, Brazil, now Mexico, Iran, South Africa, getting together and trading oil in all their currencies, it's going to end the petrodollar. We're no longer going to be the world's reserve currency, which means that we can't buy things on the cheap anymore and just print money to pay our bills. I think the whole thing's going to implode. So other than moving into gold and silver and freedom seeds and vodka and things that we can trade, do you see any solutions economically on the horizon?
No, it's a good question. So I'm a gold, silver guy. I'm also a crypto guy. I buy some decentralized here and there. I've been watching it and studying it since about 2016. I am not the deepest expert on it, but understand it. And let me actually come from a health side, because when people talk about crypto and blockchain, for example, right? Blockchain, any one of these things, depending on the good guys running it or the bad guys running it, that's the difference. Okay. So bad guys running it, hey, you're gonna have a CBDC, you could be enslaved. Blockchain, like you could be, you know, buy or sell, nothing. You can't have anything unless you have the mark, whatever it is. But if you have good guys running this thing or good people stepping in, blockchain can be one of the most amazing things on the face of the planet. And keep in mind, crypto is not a token or a coin, even though they sell tokens and coins. It's software. So ultimately what we want to do, or what they want to do, and I'm not in disagreement on this, is setting up the system of transfer of money. For example, we live in a very immediate society now. It should not take, I mean, I do a wire transfer to somebody and sometimes it takes a day or two to get it to them. And they're like a state away, versus I can Venmo somebody and it's to them in, you know, a couple minutes. In reality, money should be very easy to transfer. Let me take it from a healthcare standpoint, because that's what makes the most sense to me. And I think it might help some other people too. So let's say you go into the doctor and let's say you're an older person and you have several doctors, right? And you go in and all these doctors have multiple different cases on you. And I've literally had this happen, Timothy, where people come into me as a doctor and they'll bring a binder of stuff that's a couple inches thick. And I'm like, okay, we'll scan all this in. I'm going to have to read through this all. I don't want to read through it all, because some of it's just basic stuff that like everyone's doing, putting things in.
Yeah.
Also, I'm getting an opinion from every single doctor you've seen. However, what if we took away the records taking from the doctors and we put it into a blockchain system where the person owns their own sovereign blockchain, to where they compile their own health data? You go to a doctor writes some stuff up. You agree or don't agree with the doctor, because keep in mind, a doctor doesn't own you. A doctor gives you you can go in into a doctor and get a diagnosis, but then you go get several other different opinions. You're actually technically taking the opinion of that doctor when they show you specifically something, you know, through an objective test or diagnostic test. You then take that information, you put it into your own protective sovereign blockchain. Now you actually own your data. The doctor doesn't own it. The government doesn't own it. This actually takes away the power from big tech.
Yeah, and you're the gatekeeper. I love it.
That's exactly right.
Now here's the question though. Are people smart enough to be able to do that? Are they going to be able to distinguish between a good opinion, a bad opinion, enter the right data? And let's not forget how lazy people are. Are they going to be bothered to do it? Oh, it's just easier. Let the doctor take care of it. I don't know what I'm doing. Let the doctor take care of it. Because remember, look at how many people overpay their taxes and then get all excited because they get back the balance of the interest-free loan that they gave the government for 15 months, okay? I mean, realpolitik has got to have a role here.
Every year I hear people go, I got a refund. And I'm like, let me explain this to you. I just had a kid the other day. I told him what hyperinflation looks like. And he's a teenager. He's pretty smart. His mom's awake. And I go, well, what's going to happen when your coffee is no longer $6, it's $30, or your loaf of bread is $50. And he looks at me with the most puzzled look. He goes, well, then they should just stop printing money. And I go, welcome to the club. Welcome to our club. No, you're right. You're going to have a transition period of something. And I don't necessarily know how this works, but you're going to have to make it very, very easy, very straightforward. If this was to happen, I love the idea. I think you're going to have you're going to have doctors get on board. And again, I don't have all exactly the steps forward or ways and details, logistics of how this actually would go into place if this occurred. However, like you said, you being the gatekeeper of your own information, we've come from a society and a government the last 100 years where we had allowed government to be the gatekeeper of our finance, the gatekeeper of our medical records, the gatekeeper of our education, they're gatekeepers of everything. I want the gatekeeping to go back into the individual responsibility, the responsibility of the individual's hands. Does that make sense?
I would love that. In fact, and you said, with all due respect, you blame the preceding generations for getting us into this problem with Social Security. It's really not their fault. And I'm not making excuses for them. It's really not their fault. When Social Security was first proposed, when the income tax was first proposed, right? Oh, no. It's not a tax on wages. No, when we say income, we mean passive income. Hold on. Why don't you call it the passive income tax? Well, no. We're just going to, for simplicity, we're going to call it the income tax, but it's not wages. And then they pass the 16th Amendment and they stand up the IRS. And what do you know? It taxes wages. And then along they come. Oh, you got to pay quarterly. Nope. You're not paying it. You can't pay it at the end of the year when you owe it. You got to pay it up front at the point of a gun. And they did the same thing with Social Security. Oh, this is a voluntary program that's going to provide benefits to widows and children. And it's completely voluntary. And if you decide to donate when you're older, you can get your money back. And then the next thing you know, it's at the point of a gun. And it's off budget. It's in its own account. And then in the 60s, you know what? We're going to use that. And the only thing in the lockbox that Al Gore called it in 2000, the only thing in there is a big fat IOU from Uncle Sam. It's a Ponzi scheme. And one of my fundamental positions on government is if it's illegal for the government or for people to do it, it ought to be illegal for the government to do it. And if it's legal for the government to do it, it ought to be legal for us to do it. But you go and try and run a lottery and see where that gets you.
Hey, you don't understand. They have lives. They have upkeep. They have costs of living that they have. These Congress people, these government officials, you don't understand what it costs to live in Washington D.C., Timothy.
that $16 pint of Jenny's chocolate chip ice cream isn't going to buy itself, Jason.
Isn't this? You know what? You know what's funny? So tonight, I swear to you, before I came on here, We've been like cooking in the house and stuff like that. And tonight we're just going to relax a little bit. And so we grab some food to be delivered. Right. And we're literally just our local Greek restaurant, not like a big classy place, just local Greek restaurant. So my wife, I, my daughter, three people, we get like simple stuff, right? Swear to you. I came to the end with a tip and it came to $160.
$160?
$160. And I looked at my wife.
I was thinking $100 with tip.
Yeah. And keep in mind, my wife and I do well. It's not a big thing, but I know other people aren't in the same situation out there. I looked over at my wife and I go, even when you make money, I go, that is so ridiculous. Do you realize back before all this chaos started, back in the 80s, 90s? I mean, it was before that. But growing up, that's a $30-$40 meal max between all of us.
Okay. My three great vices in life are traveling, nice clothes, and good food and drink. I love going to great restaurants and seeing what chefs can do. The biggest dinner bill I ever had was $160. And that was for a chef's tasting with the wine flights at the Phoenician in Scottsdale back in 2003. It was $160. $160 for some Greek food for two adults and a kid?
Right. And keep in mind,
do you have the gold dust on the euros?
No, the crazy part is I don't know what my wife got, but she's a meat eater. So she probably had like a nice, like some lamb or something like that. My daughter got some, she got a little bit of octopus, which isn't that expensive because it's not here. We're in Florida. It's not that expensive. Right. Literally, I looked at the whole thing. I think we got, between all of us and some appetizers, there was a total of like seven items. I got hummus. That's like an item, right? And I looked at it, I'm going, did I miss something?
That's going to run you.
I looked at my wife and I go, this is out of control. I go, we can afford this. The average person out there, I mean, this is not a high-end Greek restaurant. I go, they're having to raise their prices so high to survive. Yep. Mm-hmm. I go, this is not going to last much longer.
That's the COVID effect. It came out, the headline on the Liberty Daily. And folks, this isn't a promo. I don't get paid for saying this, but the Walshes have a great website, thelibertydaily.com. It's what Drudge Report used to be before Matt got a new boyfriend and went hard left. If you want to get all the good information, go to thelibertydaily.com. The other day they said the economic toll just in 2022 was $458 billion. The economic toll of the COVID response in 2022. 2020, 2021. I mean, they intentionally obliterated our economy. And small businesses, the ones that did survive, are still recovering. And they can't find anybody to work at them. And they're having to charge these ridiculous prices.
And I wouldn't doubt the fact that, I mean, we're in Florida, so everything's pretty busy. But I know they've taken a hit from people coming in just in general, even a couple of years later. I mean, they're not as busy as they used to be back in the day, right? Nope. And they still do well. But I've walked in there on a Saturday night. I've walked in there on a Saturday night and I realized, I'm like, they're not only inflation. These restaurants and these other stores are having to raise prices just to make up for people not coming in at this point. Like there's people not coming in, right? There's other options out there. Other people are ordering stuff and having it delivered. They're having to compete at a whole different level now. They never thought they'd have to.
Which is just insane. And the thing that's infuriating is it's all been done intentionally, Jason. And that's absolutely no conspiracy. I mean, that's no theory. It's an actual conspiracy.
100%. I mean, the thing that runs America was, I mean, my wife found her grandfather's records coming over on the boat from Italy. I mean, this country was built on workers. This country was built on workers, then building skills. And then this country was also evolved into being built on small businesses. The average business is not a big tech corporation. The average business are these mom and pop places that do, you know, reasonably well, decent, but they live on working every single day. And when you destroy that, which COVID did, when you shut places down, I mean, Florida is doing well, but other states I haven't even been to that are crazy destroyed. This is how you take a country down. You take a country, the greatest country down, by taking out their entrepreneurs. And that's also how you solve it, by lifting up their entrepreneurs.
Yeah, exactly. And for example, it's why the Black community is so behind President Donald Trump, because people don't realize the Black community is the greatest small business community in America. Barbershops, beauty salons, dry cleaners, you know, restaurants. They're very hardworking entrepreneurs. A significant percentage of the Black community are in small business, and they're very sensitive to these economic shenanigans. Having the banksters in control, Janet Yellen is either a lot dumber than I thought she was, or she's going senile, because to preside over this disaster, I mean, her guidance at Treasury is worse than Pete Bootyplug's over at Transportation, right? Despite all the train crashes, plane crashes, bus crashes, and everything else that's going on in the transportation sector, what's happening in our economic sector and our fiscal sector is beyond the pale.
Absolutely. I still am in total belief, and this is my hope with Donald Trump, is he's a business guy, he's a businessman, he's an entrepreneur. If you take off the regulations and allow entrepreneurs to innovate, we could rebuild this thing in back in under a year. I mean, not saying like
under
back
a year,
to where
easily.
Do you realize how fast, if they took the tax off of us and the regulations off of us, how fast we could move this, Timothy?
They'd be worried about unbridled inflation because of the economic activity would be so insane. The tax revenues would be off the charts for one thing. We'd have to have another massive tax readjustment because the federal government would take in more money than even it needed. But folks, what you've listened to tonight is like almost like a behind this curtains sit down. You're a fly on the wall of Jason and I sitting down and just talking things through. We could do it for another 4 hours easily. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you come back soon. I love your perspective on things and the information you bring to the table, Jason.
Always a pleasure. I appreciate it. Honor to be with you and anytime.
Folks, go to bravetv.com to get all the great content that Dr. Jason Dean provides. And if you're having some health issues, you might want to talk to him about those too, because he's got a lot of great information. That's another week. Stay tuned for the Hrvoje Moric Show here on TNT Radio. Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.